Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1 with It's for Women. The car insurance you can sort online anytime.
Tweet at Miriam O'Cal. Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.
Some voices seem like they're a force of nature. My next guest voice definitely exists in that category. His latest album, Surrounded by Time, debuted at number one in the UK album charts and features covers in his inimitable style of Bob Dylan, Cat Stevens and even the Waterboys. And Tom Jones joins me now. Good morning, Tom. Thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning. What about and even the Waterboys? Why do you say it like that?
Because they're our very own here. We talk to them a lot.
I know that.
What do you put down to your enduring success?
First of all, my voice, the sound of my voice, and it's still working, it's still clear, and it's still flexible, which where older people, they lose flexibility, especially with the vibrato. The vibrato gets slower. That's natural. So you've got to be aware of it. But if you push a little harder, your vibrato speeds up a bit, not to get, too relaxed. So things like that, you see, and you've got to drink plenty of water. Don't get dehydrated. Make sure you get some sleep and don't drink. In my case, be careful of the booze.
And also,
you can't overindulge in anything. If it's anything damaging to the voice, you've got to be careful.
And you have been singing a long time. I mean, I think you were told when you were very young that you could be an opera singer. You even went for lessons, but that didn't seem to be the way you wanted to go. I mean, was there always a calling in you maybe for rhythm and blues, for rock and roll, or even gospel?
Yes, all the above. It was... I went for some lessons. There was a lady there in South Wales, in Pontypridd, and she was a retired soprano, an opera soprano, and she started teaching voice. So my bass player lived next door to this lady, and she had sort of heard about me singing and asked would I fancy going in, and she wanted to hear me sing. To find out what was happening and what I was all about. So I did, and she said, well, first of all, you have a natural, your projection is you've already got that. I don't have to teach you to project, you're already doing that. And she said, but you should be an opera singer. You have definitely a voice to sing opera. I said, well, the problem there is I don't really want to be an opera singer. I love rock and roll music, because in the 50s, you see, I was a teenager in the 50s and I was heavily influenced by rock and roll singers, and gospel has always been there. Mm-hmm. So it's a sort of a mixture of gospel, rhythm and blues, rock and roll, country, those things. It was basically American roots music. That's what I was interested in. And I said, opera to me is you've got to, you can only sing it a certain way. You can't, there's not a lot of flexibility there. You can't, you've got to sing it correctly. And I said, I don't particularly like that. It's not a thing. I love to listen to Pavarotti, of course, it was tremendous. And Bryn Terfel is a great bass singer. I know what it is, but I don't really want to be part of it, because I've always wanted to express myself in vocally, in other ways.
Your mum and dad, Tom, did they encourage you? And where did your extraordinary singing voice come from?
Well, I was brought up with it, you see, because I come from a musical family, all amateur singers, but mostly singers, not instrumentalists. And my uncle Snowy, they used to call him because he had white hair, but his name was Georgie. My uncle Georgie was my father's older brother. He could sing. He was a singing waiter, they used to call them. He used to wait tables in a pub and sing, and they would pay him, to sing songs as he was serving drinks. So, and he was a coal miner as well, so he did a lot of things. but he sang, he really had a really great voice. And he used to say to me as a kid, don't be frightened to look at people when you sing. Don't look at the floor, you know, because kids, you know, you're a bit embarrassed. And he said, you can sing, you can really sing. I said, well, thank you, because he could. So a lot of my cousins were in male voice choirs. So a lot of, they could all sing, you know, mm-hmm. especially on my mother's side, the Joneses, that's where the Jones comes from, was my mother's maiden name. They were all, they could all sing. And my sister can sing, you know, so... yeah, we could all sing. My father could sing, but he was a shy person. He didn't particularly, he'd have to have a couple of pints of beer before he would sing. My mother had, you know, she used to like to sing songs like Roll a Silver Dollar Down Upon the Ground, you know. And she had more, I think she was a better mover than she was a singer because she liked to move around when she sang. So it was a combination for me with these people, you see. I had my father's voice and my mother's movements.
Well, we wanted to take you back a bit through. You've so many hits and see what was going on, I suppose, when you recorded them. 1965, of course, was the real breakthrough for you with It's Not Unusual. Yeah. And then this, What's New Pussycat?
What's new, Pussycat? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What's new?
What was that year like for you? Because you recorded two albums and went to number one on both sides of the Atlantic. Was it a real whirlwind?
Well, it was unbelievable, you see, to be in London in the 60s. Because the Beatles changed the music scene, because it was, before the Beatles, it was always American. You know, all the hit records were American, or they were covered by British singers at that time. But the Beatles changed all that, you see. So, especially in America, you know, they went on the Ed Sullivan Show, that opened the door for the Rolling Stones and for myself and a lot of other British bands. But I was the only single singer at the time in the 60s. So that was, I enjoyed that, you know, but I always had a band, you see. I always had my, the Squires from Wales. And I, just for you to know, I played the Boom Boom Rooms on St. Patrick's Night in Belfast in 1965. And that was a biggie.
Wow. And you remember that well.
Very well.
You need to go back and do that.
Now, yeah, exactly. I don't know whether it's still there, is it? The Boom Boom Rooms in Belfast.
We'll look it up and let you know at the end of this interview, Tom.
Your town looks the same as I step down.
Green Grass of Home, of course, it's an old country song that was first made popular by the great Porter Wagoner, and then you had a worldwide hit with it, and it's still huge. What drew you to it? I mean, have you always liked a song with, I suppose, a real story to it?
There is a story to it. I bought an album. I've always been a Jerry Lee Lewis fan, you see. There was a whole lot of shaking going on. So I was in New York in 65 doing an Ed Sullivan Show, and I went in this record shop, the Colony Record Shop, and I said, does Jerry Lee Lewis have any records out at the moment that I don't have? And the fella says, well, he's done this country album called Country Songs for City Folk. And he said he's done the popular country hits of the day. So, because Porter Wagoner had a hit, which I would never have heard if Jerry Lee hadn't recorded it, I got the Jerry Lee album, took it back to the hotel, and I played, and that song jumped out to me. I thought, my God, this is tremendous. So when I got back to London, I said to Peter Sullivan, who was my recording manager at the time, I said, I got this great song. I would love to do it. And nobody knew it in England at the time because, you know, Porter Wagoner, I don't think he was doing a lot on the British charts at that time. So, so I recorded it. And that sort of opened the door then to doing other country songs as well. You know, making pop records out of country songs, which Ray Charles had done in 62, I think it was, with I Can't Stop Loving You. You know, that was a country song, and he changed it like that. So anyway, that's what happened with that. But if Jerry Lee hadn't recorded it, I don't know whether I would have heard it. So it's thanks to him, really.
Beautiful song. Look, jumping forward a bit to the 80s, you recorded an unforgettable version of Prince's Kiss with the Art of Noise in 88.
You don't have to be beautiful
to turn me on.
Now, they were a pretty avant-garde pop group made up of the likes of producer Trevor Horn, music journalist Paul Morty, amongst others. What made you take that change of direction, Tom? And how much did it introduce you to a whole new audience?
I was doing the song live in my show because I loved the Prince version, you know. And to me, it was an R&B song. And it left a lot of scope for another arrangement because Prince did it very sparsely, you know, and all in falsetto, you see. So I was doing it as an R&B song in my show. And Jonathan Ross had a show on television called The Last Resort. Yeah. And he asked me to go on there and what would I like to sing, because I had a song out called The Boy From Nowhere. And that was a hit. But he said, you know, if you don't mind, you know, this is not a plug show. We'd like you to do something else. You know, what are you doing in your live show? So to me, you know, when in doubt, Great Balls of Fire. So I said, look, you know, I love Great Balls of Fire. Okay, we can do that. What else? And I said, so I rattled off this set list and Kiss was on it. And he says, what, Prince's Kiss? I said, well, yeah. And he said, well, could you do that on the show? I said, sure. And he had a great rhythm section there. So so we did it. And then the Art of Noise, I think Ann Dudley, maybe more than anybody else, saw me do on the Last Resort and asked, would I record it with the Art of Noise for an album? You know, the best of the Art of Noise, I think it was called. So I said, sure, why not? So that was it. And I did it with them. And then when I heard the arrangement, I thought, my God, if this is not a hit, then I got to think again, you know. But thank God, it was. And it was different enough, you see, from the Prince version. So that, again, is sort of a lesson to be learned, that if you do something, you know, don't take away the essence of the song, no, but put your own thing on it. And then it becomes what I, like, because cover is always, people say, oh, you covered Prince's Kiss. You know, I did my own version of it, and that's what this album is, you see. It's my interpretation of these songs that's on Surrounded by Time. It's just, it's the same principle.
Brilliant. And in the year 2000, you released a great version of the Randy Newman song Mama Told Me Not to Come with your fellow Welshman, of course, in the Stereophonics. That was for your Reload album. Now, that looked like so much fun. Were you determined to show you were still rocking at that stage?
Yeah, well, you see, I wanted to do, excuse me, I was doing some things with some bands on TV, younger bands, you know. So I was approached, why don't we do an album like this with, you know, with some people that are around now? So certain names were suggested that had been around, you know, for a while. And I said, well, you know, if we're going to do this, if we're going to do duets, let's try and do some duets that people wouldn't expect me normally to do. And so I did a show in Cardiff and the Stereophonics came to see me, and so did Kerris Matthews. So they, and I said, look, I'm doing this album. Would you fancy being a part of it? And they said, sure. What do you want to do? I said, well, what do you want to do? You know, I'm more flexible. I can sort of find out what those people would like that maybe they hadn't done before, you know. So they picked, they loved the Three Dog Night, you know, and their Mama Told Me Not to Come. So I said, yeah, we can do it. So I went to, on that album, I went to their producers, all the people that I sang with. I went to where they would normally record. Like the Cardigans, you know, I went to Sweden to record with them, and Burning Down the House. So all the things that I did on that album, I went to where those people were comfortable, like with Van Morrison, you know. Mm. He had a recording studio in Bath at the time, and I went down there to Bath to do these, you know, Sometimes We Cry. So wherever they wanted me to go, I was ready for it. And I thought, let's try and make this surprising, you know, for people that maybe don't think of me that way. So that's how that came about.
And now we come to a track from your new album, of course, Surrounded by Time, Tom. And we're going to play a bit of your recording of This Is the Sea by the Waterboys, who themselves have had band members from Ireland, Wales, Scotland and England. Why did you choose this one?
Well, I've always liked the Waterboys. I did Strange Boat. That was the first one I did that they wrote and I recorded it. So I was very familiar with them. And then when I heard that song, you know, it just appealed to me. You know, that was the river and this is the sea. I mean, this is it. To me, it was like, OK, you know, you came. That was the river. But this is the sea. This is the big time now. And so you got to make the most of it. So it appealed to me. It was just a great song. But I've always liked the Waterboys. You know, I've always enjoyed their music. So I was attracted to what they had done. And I thought this song would definitely work. And so we did it.
Yes, once you were tethered, but now you are free. That was the river, and this is the sea. And that was the river, and this is the sea. Now if you're feeling weary.
Final question, Sir Tom. You've moved back to the UK. Do you love living there now? And for everyone who's listening this morning, they'll be thinking, you still sound so healthy, so full of energy. So what is your, I don't know, what's your secret to a good, happy life?
To try and get the most out of every day. You've got to... you've got to try and be true to yourself, you know, try and be true to yourself. And if you're doing something you love to do, which I'm lucky enough to do, you know, that's it. And I've always been British. I never became an American, even though I lived there for a long time. I never took out American citizenship. I was always a British passport. So I've just come home. You know, that's what I've done. And I'm glad that I did.
Just to let you know, the Boom Boom Rooms are no more in Belfast, Tom.
What's there now?
A shopping centre.
A shopping centre. Okay.
Anyway, thank you so much. And may you continue for decades to come. And your latest album, Surrounded by Time, is available now. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Okie doke. Thank you, love.
Mind yourself. Take care.